Welcome to the Witty Committee. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Claire. And this week we are reading the second book in the Lux series, Rumors, or The Rumors, I think. I don't entirely know. But before we get into that, Courtney, can you tell me a little bit about what you've been reading, watching, doing outside the podcast this week?
Absolutely. Outside the podcast this week, I have been reading, I have it right here as a physical book, The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires by Grady Hendrix. And
cute.
Yeah, it's set in like the 90s in a suburb of Charleston. And it's just not anywhere with a name that I'd recognize.
Okay.
But I'm sure is a real place.
Okay. Cool.
Yes, I'm a fan of Grady Hendrix. I'm a fan of this writer's work, and it is an interesting concept.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we reserving judgment for later on?
I'm frankly having a hard time starting, like, I'm in the middle of it, and I'm having a hard time continuing reading it because all I want to do is, like, wrap myself up in Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I just watched Hotel for the Holidays, that new Madeline Pitch Amazon Prime Video Christmas movie. No? Well, it is mid.
Okay. I was not planning on watching it and I won't add it to my list. I do want to watch the one where they like are dating. They're British and they're dating and they're going home for the holidays. And then they decide, no, I actually want to spend the holiday with you. So they go to try to find each other on each other's trains and end up swapping trains. So like he ends up with her family and she ends up with his family.
I don't know that one.
It looks cute. David actually picked it out and he was like, I want to watch this. And I was like, okay. So maybe we'll do that tonight.
Good.
But outside the pod, I am reading, starting a new fantasy series called The Name of the first book is called The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. It was recommended to me by someone who likes similar fantasy books to me. And so I'm very excited to continue to read that one. So far, I'm only like five chapters in and it's definitely, you know, it's a fantasy book. So we're world building. So I'm still learning. Cannot tell you. I did see someone on TikTok say if you liked reading Harry Potter, you would like the series. And that feels so wild to me because I'm reading this book and I'm like, where do you get Harry Potter from any of these things at all? It's so confusing to me.
It's a fantasy book. That's it.
Yeah, but like it doesn't make sense because like fantasy is a wide and overarching genre. And like this book feels like it's kind of like high fantasy and Harry Potter is like, I think it's called like modern fantasy or something. It's just a very different vibe. Like this is like swords and shit. And Harry Potter had one sword pretty much. But I don't know. Anyway. Non sequitur. Rumors. This book that we read this week. It felt like, okay, like in a cartoon when someone makes a snowball at the top of a hill and rolls it down the hill. And by the time it's at the bottom, it's a giant snowball that's like knocking over houses. Would you agree with me?
I would say this book, again, I think each of these books has like maybe one too many plot points.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, this is great. I want to get more into that. But like, unfortunately, I can't like invest all of my time into this like nice stranger man who was your dad's business partner who just came in from out of. Like, I don't have time for that. Okay.
Especially when it's going to end in this like catastrophic bang.
Yeah. Like this book was definitely giving. It was giving the drama. Yet, like, we had to spend so much time doing this, like, other shit that was not important.
And honestly, the plot points sum themselves up so quickly, and it's so much of a continuation of stuff from last book that, like, I'm really wondering, the most interesting plot was with Carolina Broud, like, the maid, I would say.
I'm sorry, her name is now actually Carolina Broad?
Yes, they changed it. Because she's a scammer. She's pulling a scam. She is the early Caroline Calloway.
She's literally giving Anna Delvey. She's literally skipping out on her hotel bills because rich people don't pay their bills canonically.
So it's really fascinating. If you left us last book, our main character, we're led to believe, although we have so many of them, Elizabeth Holland has just faked her death to escape to California with her lover. Will Keller. And she leaves her younger sister a note basically saying, like, If you want to get together with Henry Schoonmaker, you're going to have to fight for him. So 2 months have since passed. And everyone is still in mourning because the only people that know that Elizabeth is still alive are Diana, her younger sister, and Penelope, who helped to orchestrate her fake death. I don't know why she thought involving Penelope in the scheme was a good idea. I guess because she was probably left with no other choice.
Like, she had to, because Penelope was like,
I'm gonna spill your shit. Which she does eventually. Anyway, I don't know. Penelope.
You know, one thing that Penelope does as a schemer really makes zero sense to me logically. And when we get to that point, I'm going to, like, raise the issue. But as it stands right now, I'm like, girl, don't bite the hand that feeds you is not the right terminology. But, like, be careful what you wish for, because you are just going to end up unhappy.
Yeah, truly. One thing that Penelope does in her, like, time of mourning is she completely changes her appearance and personality. I'm using air quotes there because she puts on an act, basically, where she has taken on what society praised Elizabeth for. She's basically become Elizabeth, like, replaced her in society as, like, this goody two-shoes. She is being demure and kind and only wearing pastels and, like, really leaning into this, like, ideal of who she should be. Whereas before, you know, she was loud and bright and in your face and, like, sexy and known for all of that. Now she is really trying to fit a mold because she realizes that's how she's going to get Henry. She's still very much devoted to Henry Schoon. And I gotta be completely honest, with these books and the number of women that are falling over Henry, and Henry doesn't do, Henry is the Nate Archibald of this series by far, because he doesn't do jack shit. Same thing with Nate, when Nate would be like, I just don't know who to choose. Henry, like, he makes all these promises, he says he's gonna do all these things, and he doesn't do jack shit.
He does do one cute little switcheroo with Teddy that I appreciate, but then other than that, it's lame.
Yeah, but he only does the switcheroo to get what he wants, and then he gets what he wants, and it's irksome. Anyway, Penelope is prancing around town pretending to be fancy. Diana has had to avoid Henry, basically, because she has been in 2 months of strict mourning for her sister, because everyone thinks that her sister's dead, which she obviously knows isn't true. So she's so excited for her mourning to be up to go see Henry and be like, he's still going to be in love with me.
The idea of the mourning timelines is so fascinating, too, because it explicitly has, like, so each of these chapters has, like, little anecdotes from newspapers or, like, guides for young women and stuff like that. In one of them, a fiancé, 1E, man fiancé, has written into this advice column essentially asking, like, my fiancé died, how long do I have to be in mourning? And she says, you know, like, 2 months, shorter than the amount of time that you have to be in mourning for, you know, the direct family or, like, of the real wife or whatever. And it's so interesting that, like, the idea that there are set times around it and that, like, the mother is still mourning her, like, Mrs. Holland is still mourning the loss of her husband, and that's been less than a year. And now she has to, like, go back into mourning, and then people are like, why aren't we seeing her around? And I'm like, because her life's a bummer.
That, and also because she's super depressed. It has literally put her into a stupor. But also, I really don't blame her. And I would not blame her if she pulled, like, a Queen Vic and did the I'm going to be in mourning the rest of my life thing, which Queen Victoria famously wore mourning black for the final 40 years of her life once her husband was killed. So that's crazy. But anyway, Diana, also, I guess for sisters, you only have to mourn your sister for 2 months. Or maybe she's, like, being soft-launched back into society. I am not
entirely
sure.
They have to soft-launch, not even soft-launch her back into society. They can't afford to, like, debutante her. They are like, we need to get you married ASAP.
We know you're 16.
Yes, which, you know, for Elizabeth, that's 2 years younger than getting married. But, like, for Henry, he's still not married and he's 20 and his stepmom's 25. So, like, it really could run the gamut for years of age that you could be married. But she needs to get married, and so she's on this first date with this super boring, snivelly guy, and she ends
Percival Coddington.
And she ends up launching him essentially into an ice crack while they're ice skating, and he falls into a pond of water.
Diana has not changed that much. She's pretty well known for this. But the thing is the fact that she's still like out on dates pretty much confirms to the gossip mongers that the Hollands are pooer. They are the pooers. And so she runs into at the same event the man who, Mr. Barnard, who runs the Gamesome Gallant, which is a famous, like a popular gossip column in the city. And he basically says, if you need any money, I've always admired your family. I'll pay you for like your insight into the society. And she's like, I would never do that. Of course, that is not what happens. But she is trying to catch the eye of Henry now that Henry is going back out into society, and so is she. And so the first night that Henry chooses to kind of present himself to society is the opening night of the Metropolitan Opera, where they're doing Romeo and Juliet. And Diana is invited to go as the guest of another family, kind of on a, you know, not a date, but like with this other man who is recently widowed, but like very obviously not interested in her. So instead she uses it as an opportunity to kind of see Henry. And so she gets there and like people go to the opera to socialize. Nobody's really listening to the opera, which is like kind of a bummer, but whatevs. And at the opera, she goes to see Henry in the hallway and he sees her and, you know, Teddy has convinced him that you cannot, because Henry doesn't know that Elizabeth's alive and Diana has promised not to tell anyone. So Teddy has convinced Henry there's like no way you can just go ahead and marry the sister of your dead fiance. And so Henry breaks it off and Teddy's like eavesdropping in on him, which is like a little weird to me. Like it's such an intimate moment. So he breaks it off with Diana and she is distraught. She runs into, I don't know, the plot lines in this are kind of confusing because they run all at the same time and they obviously end kind of congruently, but there's so many things to catch people up on. So I'm going to rewind. Diana at the opera runs into someone she is familiar with, which is a good thing. That person is Carolina Brown. Broad. Her last name, Broad. Well, she takes on Broad later, but it's, I think it's, anyway, whatever. Carolina, their former maid.
Correct. Yes, it's, her name gets mistaken because Diana does end up taking this reporter on his recommendation to sell stories. And he asks her about Carolina, who has been invited to the opera by this old, like, forever bachelor who's been staying at the same hotel she's been at. And the reporter is basically like, who's this new hot young thing on the scene? And Diana's like, oh, she is a friend of Elizabeth's. They met in Paris and she's an orphan and her dad made his fortune out in Utah at the copper smelting mines. She just like does Carolina this solid of being like, yeah, I will like, I'll, you know, vouch for you in the newspaper under the guise of anonymity. But in taking down what Diana is saying, the reporter misspells her name. And so now she goes by Carolina Broad, B-R-O-A-D.
Which I guess is convenient when you're inventing a new life. And it's important that Carolina invents a new life because she's already spent over half of the money that she got from Penelope Hayes in the previous book. And after a jaunt to Lord and Taylor, one day she comes back to her hotel room to find her remaining $200 gone, stolen out of her bag. So she is in desperate need of some sugar. And conveniently enough, this guy, Livingston is his last name, I think. He's got a long ass name. He's got three names.
Yes.
So we're going to call him Livingston because that's what's in my brain right now. Daddy Livingston decides that he is willing to provide the sugar for her. He sees through the ruse and he's like, I know you're not fancy and I know that you didn't come to town on a copper, you know, heiress money, but I'm old and I want people to go to parties with me, so I will pay for your dresses and your hotel room. And that's all Carolina really wanted. Lena really wanted. So she is set and good to go, except she does realize she needs some clout in society. And all of this is at the behest of her sort of boyfriend, Tristan, the Lord and Taylor runner boy.
Yeah, the sales boy who comes to her room to deliver the packages she has purchased from Lord and Taylor is told by her after she realizes that all of her money has been stolen. Spoiler alert, by Tristan. He's the one who took the money.
Stole it from her.
He's like, oh, I thought you were rich. This is sort of my scam, is that I like getting good with like rich women and then I steal a little bit of their money, but like apparently that was all your money. And normally women don't freak out because I do not take all their money. I didn't think that you were broke. And so he gives her tips on how to be like, okay, this is the new scam we're going to run. You're going to get in good with this old dude. And then he's going to fund your lifestyle. And I will be here to sort of like siphon off of some of that, both because he makes commission and, you know, it'll introduce him to a whole new slew of people. But one of the things that he tells Carolina is that she needs to get some female friends and not just like divorced old women that her new sugar daddy hangs out with, because they're like, that is worse than just hanging out with men, honestly.
Exactly.
It like looks so bad. So at one point, after having gotten this money stolen from her, Carolina tries to go back to Penelope's house to sell the last remaining secret that she has from the Hollands, which is that the Hollands are broke. And Penelope's like, girl, everyone knows that. That is old news at this point.
We bid now.
Exactly. So Carolina leaves distraught, and then she goes back to Penelope after some series of very tawdry events with some more secrets to spill so that she can get herself a friendship.
And those tawdry events take place after a little while. So basically what ends up happening is Penelope has kind of joined forces with Isabella Schoonmaker, Henry's stepmother, who I guess is like saying that like you can have better relationships with basically once you get married, nobody looks at you hard enough, so you can basically hook up with any guy you want to.
And Isabella, I think that really, she and Teddy are hooking up. Like, I think that Mrs. Schoonmaker and Teddy are hooking up.
I think she's pretty, I think she's got her eye set on a number of people,
sure,
including Penelope's brother. So Isabella is basically like, you know, wouldn't you and Henry make a wonderful couple? Do you see her as like the kind of creepy person who maybe tried to like hook up with Henry?
Oh no, totally. But like, okay, she doesn't seem to have like held too much of a candle for him. She's like, okay, well, if that didn't work out, let's still do some other stuff.
Exactly. So she and Penelope are working together and doing their little schemey scheme to try and get Henry and Penelope to be endgame. And one thing that Penelope does to realize that, like, to kind of try to get Henry over it, is she finally admits, she's like, Elizabeth isn't dead. Like, you can stop mourning her. You can stop pretending to be such a good person. I know you really are, like, this troublemaker like me. She's not dead, so you don't have to mess with it. She was like, I helped to orchestrate her fake death anyway, and I know she's not dead. She just left because she didn't love you. And then instead of having the desired effect, which was like, obviously then Henry would get over her fake death and like fall in love with Penelope, instead he's like, wait, I have to go do something. And this is where the Teddy cutting Henry like little swaparoonie happens, is Teddy stays in the house and like pretends to be Henry, and Henry slips because Henry has been placed on house arrest by his dad and like has like goons following him basically. And so he slips the house and goes to see Diana and basically says like, I know that Elizabeth's not dead and we can be together now and everything's great. And Teddy is also kind of like on board now because he realizes that like Henry really loves Diana, like in a way that he didn't ever care about anyone before, which is kind of sweet.
A lot of Teddy's hesitance has been like, look, you are someone who gets invested in someone for like a few months and then you get over them really quickly. This is the younger sister of the woman you were supposed to marry, and now she's dead. So if you get all caught up with her, that is going to destroy her. Do not do it.
If you bounce after you've destroyed her life, that's not a good vibe. But once he realizes that that Henry's really invested. He's like, okay, fine, I'll help. And so he helps. And then Henry goes to see Diana and they have sex, which
I did not see that coming. I mean, like in the past,
I didn't either.
The last book, they allude to the fact that Elizabeth has had sex and they allude to the fact that Penelope and Henry have had sex, but they like actually straight up call it out.
Yeah. And they talk about like taking off each other's clothes and so, which like, I don't know, maybe we just haven't read something like this explicit in a while. Not that it was explicit at all. It wasn't. This is no fairy porn book. This is no, like, you know, his throbbing member.
Much to Claire's chagrin.
Exactly. But it was more than we've had in a couple of books, at least. And the fact that he's 20 and she's 16, I know it's a different time. And I know that, like, it's better than, like, the 27-year-old guy. But, like, I don't know. It made me feel weird.
Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely, I'm not disagreeing that it's weird. He, I think, is the youngest guy who her family has been trying to set her up with. Like, even Teddy is 2 years older than Henry is. So in that regard, I'm like, okay, so I guess he's the most age-appropriate match of all of the people that they're offering to her. But, like, it's still kind of weird, especially since, like, he slept with many other people.
Yeah. Five other women.
Again, apparently. I'm not slut-shaming Henry, but, like, this is just...
I don't know. Sometimes men deserve it.
She's a child. Bit. And so they are in each other's arms. He sleeps over. And who walks in and sees them but Carolina's older sister, Claire, who is still working as a maid in the Holland household?
Bad news bears. Bad news bears. Because
and
then,
not on purpose bad news, but, like, accidentally on purpose.
And I think the bad news is that the fact that Diana decides to trust Claire, when what does Claire do? But the first opportunity she has, she tells her younger sister.
But that's what I'm saying. Who, is that, like, she doesn't tell her younger sister because she, like, wants to spread gossip. She's just like, no. I'm talking to my sister, you know?
Yes, but she doesn't realize that her sister got to where she was today by being a snitch.
Sure.
And so Snitchy Sally, a.k.a. Carolina, takes her little gossip directly to the source. And she takes it to Penelope and is like, hey, I got some hot goss for you. And that hot goss is that Henry loves Diana and they were caught this morning by the maid. But in exchange for all of this goss, Carolina's smart. She was like, you know what? In exchange for all of this, I want to be your friend. I want you to take me in. I want you to be able to summer with your family in Newport. I want you to make me a bridesmaid in your eventual wedding. And, like, this is, you're going to make me. And Penelope does. She's like, you know what? Fine. Bet down into it. And it helps that the rest of the people at this party that's being thrown also are very enamored with Carolina. They like her. They think she's magnetic, beautiful. You know, she's fitting in. So it doesn't hurt that she kind of looks the part.
I think part of that is getting the gold stamp from Penelope. Even her older brother, who has finally come home from England, has asked Carolina, like, oh, are you a good friend of Penelope's? And she goes, yes, we're very good friends. And it's interesting that he asks her this because he is new in town, having come from San Francisco, strangely enough, which is not England. I don't know. No, there's got to be more to that. But he was
maybe
in California.
Maybe he did like an around the world travel situation.
Yeah, maybe a hot air balloon. But he did come by train from California. And you know who else is coming back to New York on train from California?
Stupidly. So dumbly. Elizabeth and Will Keller are coming back from California because Diana... Because her mom won't leave her bedroom, and there's no fire in the, like, for firewood. Diana freaked out and sent Elizabeth a telegram and was like, I need your help. Please come back. And so Elizabeth and Will are on their way back, and midway there, they stop off and they pawn Elizabeth's Tiffany engagement ring, which she had kept with her, which is smart. Like, it's a thrifty move. And Will's kind of upset about it because he's like, oh, you know, I would want to get you that ring. And Elizabeth's like, I didn't really like this ring. This isn't the ring I wanted. So they're fine with it. And they get back to New York and they come home. And Elizabeth's mom initially thinks that she's an angel who's come to visit her. Like,
yeah, she's like on her deathbed. Like, she's not well.
Mm-mm, she's not good. So this coincides with somebody else coming to kind of save the day in the Holland household. And that is what read to me as the sketchy business partner to Mr. Holland. Did you feel like he was a little sketchy?
I was waiting for that to be the ball that was going to drop in this book.
Like he was going to marry Diana.
There was going to be him marrying Diana, or like he's going to come in and like, so he just lavishes them with like, he brought firewood to their house to put a fire in their fireplace because he was like, oh, I'm sorry I couldn't come to my business partner's funeral or your daughter's funeral, but here, have some firewood. And also I bought new art for all of the like space on your walls and just all of this stuff. And he's like, I'm going to stay for a while. I'm going to look over your books. And I'm like, when he offered to look over the books, I was suspicious because I was like, what do you think you're going to find?
It did concern me. Yeah. I felt a little weird about it. Snowden Cairns, I think is his name.
Yeah. Snowden his first even name is Snowden. A suspicious name.
It's a suspicious name. Something feels like iffy. And the first thing he does when he arrives is he asks Diana to take him to dinner, which I was like, sus. I don't know. He gives me sketchy vibes, but he has saved the day. But he also helps because the second that Elizabeth gets home and her mother realizes kind of what she's done, she's like, okay, we got to figure this out. And the way that she can figure out how to get it taken care of is that Elizabeth needs to marry Will because they've been living in sin. Mm-hmm. And then they both need to disappear again. And so they do that. They get married at home. Snowden officiates the wedding. They have cake and Elizabeth wears a ready-to-wear gown. And, you know, everything is great there. But then this is where things start to get out of hand. So a couple things are happening at once. They're getting married. They're getting ready to go back to California. While this is going on, Penelope is at a party that Diana had been at with Snowden and had to leave early. Whilst there, she confronts Henry and is like, I know what you did with Diana. The maid saw it. I know, and I'll tell everyone, and you'll ruin her unless you marry me. And so,
which is like such a bizarre like ultimatum, because he has also had sex with Penelope. So if anything, he could tell Penelope, like they could also ruin Penelope. And if anything, double if anything, but like also if anything, Penelope is sort of disliked among many people.
Yeah.
And she is a new money, whereas the Hollands have this like double old money name family. And so it would look even worse for Penelope.
It's not looking good for Penelope anyway, but.
But Henry is so stupid that he doesn't think about that.
Yeah. And so he tries to go talk to Diana, and Diana's like, I'm sorry, I'm so busy. Everything's crazy in the house. Like, I really can't talk right now, but come tonight to my bed and we'll talk. And he isn't able to, he can't. And so what ends up happening is that Diana goes to see the gossip monger to kind of talk to him. And the gossip monger is like, I heard that Elizabeth's alive. And Diana's like, I can't tell you anything. But he's like, well, then I guess I'll have to report my other upsetting news, which is that Penelope Hayes and Henry are engaged. And she, Diana, is like, I've been betrayed. And I'm like, it sucks, but like, is it betrayal? Okay.
I mean, it is betrayal by her not, like, by him not even trying to think of anything to, like,
exactly
work around this. He's like, well, I guess
this is where
I have to write her a sad note.
And then he doesn't even write her the sad note. He crumbles it up. He's like, well, I've told her all I could say anyway. And it's like, have you? Have you told her everything? I don't know. But what happens is Penelope and Henry end up having their wedding in Tuxedo Park outside of Manhattan on New Year's Eve. And while it's going down, this hasty wedding where Penelope is wearing her mom's dress and all the bridesmaids are wearing old dresses from Isabella's wedding, Carolina Broad is there. So good flex for her. While this is happening, we hear murmurs from the crowd because Elizabeth has been found. And where was she found, Courtney?
Okay, so this is where maybe Snowden was doing a sneaky sneak. So he told Elizabeth and Will to leave New York City on New Year's Eve because that'll be when the trains are like the least populated. But it turns out they're super populated. And while they're at the train station getting ready to leave, she hears someone call her from behind, but call her by, you know, her name, the name that she's been known by, which is Miss Holland. And so she turns around and then people think that the guy with her, Will, is her kidnapper. And so they shoot him.
Shoot him.
They kill him.
Dead. They kill him.
They got his ass.
They bloody blown open. And so she's cradling his dying body. And they're saying, I love you to each other. They've just been married.
And this is after he was in California. He found oil.
Yeah, he found oil.
He was going to be an oil baron. Like, I don't love fracking, obviously. Green energy. But
yeah,
he found oil.
But they were going to be fine. They were going to be set.
I thought that was another thing that could have been like a bad negative thing that happened to them is that like while he was accompanying her across the country to go tell her to go like see her mother and take care of her family. I thought that he was going to have been betrayed by his business partner or something, or like maybe the oil wouldn't have
betrayed.
Worked.
Maybe he was betrayed by the business partner who then told the Hollands, because remember, this was supposed to be Mr. Holland's spot that he told Will about. And maybe Snowden is like, well, he found the oil, so now I have to find the oil, because they, like, I don't know, but Snowden sounds suspicious. So, but Will's dead. Will's dead. D-E-A-D, dead.
Yeah, so then the police parade her back to the house and are like, oh my God, we found her. She was kidnapped by your coachman. And Elizabeth is obviously incredibly shaken up, and her mom is giving her soup, which is nice, and I'm trying to give her mom as much grace as possible.
I think,
like,
it's also because, like,
being a product of the, like, 1850s.
And super waspy, because they say that, like, when Elizabeth showed up, her mother hugged her uncharacteristically one time for, like, 2 seconds and then, like, pushed her away. So, like...
Well, if you saw who you thought was your dead daughter, I don't know what sort of...
At your bedside when you thought you were dying, I don't know.
There's really no answer. But so she, like, tries to make her soup, which is crazy because, if anything, this woman does not know how to cook. And she's like, okay, I appreciate that you are sad. Be sad. You need to eat. You need to sleep. I'm not going to try and force you to marry anybody. People are going to want to see you, but thankfully we live in a polite enough society that no one is going to ask you any personal questions. But you are going to have to go back on the social scene after a perceivingly short period of time.
Pretend that your husband, who was just killed in front of you, was actually your kidnapper. You're going to have to agree with the stories, because going against them would ruin our family.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. And then that's what gets passed up at Penelope and Henry's wedding. And Penelope realizes that she's losing control of everything. So she forces Henry to end the wedding, like, to go through with it. And so they're married. And, like, it's a done deal there. Like, that's a wedding. And... you can tell that everyone who's there knows about the fact that Elizabeth's back and is, like, a little suspicious about Penelope. But it doesn't matter. They're, like, legally wed, except for the fact that Elizabeth looks at Diana and is like, did you love Henry the way I loved Will? And Diana was like, yes, I did. And Elizabeth's, like, on a warpath, like, okay, we have to get you that man. And that's where the book ends.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's a good sisterly bonding moment, and it's an interesting way to present, like, them as foils to Claire and Carolina in a way that I kind of appreciate. But, like, the fact that they killed him, man, that...
It's so brutal to me.
We've been asking for, like, death and murder and
but that's not what we meant.
I didn't
we
mean meant police like, brutality. Come on.
No, exactly. We are anti-cops here on this... I am anti-cop on the show.
I was so shook. I thought about texting you being like, what the fuck just happened?
I also thought about texting you, but I was also kind of annoyed because Elizabeth is still the most boring character despite her husband, like, literally dying in front of her. Most of her chapters, the first part.
Yeah, go ahead.
To open a can of beans.
Yeah, like, literally. She, like, girl cannot do anything, which, like, again, I understand. She was not raised to know how to do anything. She wasn't even, like, seen the kitchen. So why would she know how to do anything? But, like, I don't know. Maybe we'll see more of her as she helps to scheme to get Diana back with Henry.
I would love that. I hope she has something in her that's a little bit more interesting.
But, like, I can't believe they killed him.
I can't believe they killed him. And especially because it the way that they killed him, it was in the like second to last chapter, and it was so quick, and then it ended, and it was like, what?
Yeah, they could have at least ended on that and like given that the like weight that it deserved of being the like final drama, but no.
But no, they had to drag it on. Yeah, I don't know. So that is Rumors, the second book.
So short, can you believe?
It was so short. But one thing that we did not lack for in this book was fashion moments. Courtney, do you want to tell me about your fashion moment for this book?
I would be absolutely delighted to tell you my fashion moment. My fashion moment actually comes kind of early and is like kind of not even a fashion moment. It's the prologue that describes the like
setup of the wedding
park situation. That was
mine too, but I can choose a different one.
I mean, this episode is thus far only 35 minutes long, so I feel like we kind of have to do two in order to fill up the time.
That was my number one choice, but you can go ahead and read it.
Okay. I mean, if there are there are details that I don't include, feel free to like chime in with that.
I will embellish.
Of course. So by the eve of the new year, the last of them had arrived by special train to Tuxedo Park, disembarking at the private club's private station. There had been special trains all afternoon, one bearing orchids, another caviar and game, another cases of Ruinart champagne, and now the Schimmerhorns and Skylers, Vanderbilts and Joneses. They were greeted by coaches newly painted in the tuxedo colors of green and gold and decorated with commemorative silver bells from Tiffany & Co. and whisked across the freshly fallen snow to the ballroom where the wedding would take place. And then, like, it goes on and on about, like, ladies who wear historic jewels and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very nice.
It was great. It was a great example of, like, a winter wedding. They said one part that I liked was down the middle of its famed parquet dance floor was an aisle delineated with white rose petals several inches deep. Bridal arches wrapped in chrysanthemums and lilies of the valley dominated the center of the room. So like flowers galore. Very fun, very wintry, very festive. Definitely a good choice. My backup fashion fave is another Penelope outfit. This was her victory scheming dress for when she knew she was going to close the trap on Henry. Indeed, her whole body tingled with it. She had dressed for triumph in a garment of gossamer, which framed her bustline in filmy layers and crept a sheen, which cascaded down toward her high-heeled slippers and overwhelmed her toes. The dress was so pale a pink, it was virtually white, though her favorite color was red, represented in small red medallions at the shoulders and 100 little bows down near the hem. It fit her exceptionally well. Penelope had spent all of yesterday at the dressmaker's making sure that this was so. So this is when she's like, gotta tell Henry, basically, this is what you have to do. So, you know, we had some good moments. There were some other good ones too, but those were, I think, the two best ones. Also, Courtney and I always love like an architecture or like party drama scene or like we haven't had a good book with a gift bag in a couple of seasons. I could use a gift bag book.
Sure. I think the like list of things that come by train is like as close as we're going to get gift bag.
Truly. Yes, I would agree. So yeah, very fun. Very short. These are longer books, but like the plot, there's just like so much buildup. It's like what I said at the beginning where it's like that cartoon of like a little snowball turning into like the big giant snowball where like at the end it's just so much happens. So do you have any questions for me? I know you didn't write notes this week, but anything come to mind?
I know. I think we addressed a lot of them about whether or not Snowden is going to be a betrayer. We both conspire that will be the case. I'd love to see like how Elizabeth thinks that they're going to get Henry and Diana together. That's going to be interesting.
Because breaking up a marriage is a lot different than breaking up an engagement, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, like, there clearly are divorcees in this whole
universe. Their Aunt Edith is one.
Exactly. But, like, maybe it'll be an annulment of marriage because, like, she was engaged to Henry first and then it turns out she wasn't dead.
Maybe.
I don't know.
We'll have to see next week.
And I also want to see more about this, like, Tristan drama. I have a feeling. Same. That there's going to be, like, Carolina, we haven't even thought about, like, what the consequences are of Will's death on Carolina, obviously, because, like, she doesn't know at this point. But she keeps telling herself that she's, like, doing all of this so that she can A, go out put west her name in and the be... paper mm-hmm. so that Will can read about her in the paper, but now her name's misspelled in the paper, so like he won't even know that it's her. And then she was like, okay,
well, he's dead, so
I just want to be famous and like I want to be like not famous but like mannered enough that when I go out west to see her, to see him, Will will be like, oh my god, you're just like Elizabeth, because she thinks that Elizabeth is dead. And now she's like, oh well, I guess I'll stay in New York for a little bit longer to like get more money, because Tristan is like kind of blackmailing me. And now she's like, oh well, I'm still gonna go see Will. But then she saw Will and Lord and Taylor, and she was like, oh, Will must not have like earned any money in California, and now Will's dead.
Yeah, I don't think Will is, I don't think that's going to change much for her, because I think she is now in a place where, like, she could marry Grayson Hayes. Like,
yeah, it's just like, for someone who keeps saying that, like, she really wanted to go leave to go see Will and she loved Will, like, girl, you really weren't, at, like, making a lot of attempts to go see him.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I think she's going to realize that she didn't really love Will. Or maybe not. Well. I don't know. We'll see.
And that's fine.
But Will's dead, so... very sad. Bummer.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bummer, anyway. Claire, what's your in and your out for the week?
Okay. My State of the Union, my in for the week is city girls.
Okay.
Being a city girl. So David and I spent the weekend in D.C. visiting some friends. It was really nice being back in a city. Like a, yeah, we're in a, we're like in a city. Charlotte's a city.
Like I haven't been back to D.C. in like
a year. Okay. I thought that was a call out, and I was going to say, working on that, Courtney.
I mean, if you want to feel, if you want to feel like your shoe is fitting, be my guest. Okay. Cinderella. Anyway. Oh, no, that's Beauty and the Beast. Which one's be our guest? Like,
what are you saying? Oh, that's Beauty and the Beast, yes. Okay. That's funny. Anyway. What? Just, anyway, yeah. So I was a little city girl for the weekend, and it was nice. Big cities have a lot of things, and then the smaller cities don't, and I enjoyed it.
What did you do in the big city that you couldn't do in the small city other than public transportation?
Walked everywhere.
Mm.
And,
it's sort of like the inverse of public transport. Oh, okay. I haven't been to Tate.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
Also just like, we walked to Streets, which is like a small grocery store market thing in DC. And it was like so nice to be able to be like, hey, I want a snack. I'll walk and get it. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, we could walk in Charlotte, but it would be, like, I think it's a mile and a half to our closest grocery store. So, like, different. For like, sure. You walk a mile and a half in D.C. and you're, like, at the, like, White House or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe. But, yeah, that's what we did in D.C. And then my out for the week is bomb cyclones.
Elaborate, please.
That's what that storm is called. It's called a bomb cyclone.
I didn't realize that was what it was called. I know that big, like, there cold. Is a big storm calling, but I didn't think that it had that kind of a name.
No, yeah, that's what they call it. They call it a bomb cyclone.
Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, it's going to be big cold.
So and, are you guys spending Christmas at David's place or at David's
parents' place? We are. Christmas in Connecticut. Cute. It's going to be even worse for people spending Christmas in Chicago. It's going to be
like record-breaking levels of cold. Started.
Yeah, Haley texted me today, so she's moved to Springfield, like, Illinois, permanently.
What? Why?
Yeah, with her fiancé.
Why?
Because that's where he's from. But she's going to be there for Christmas, and I was like, oh, boy. Woof.
Yeah, for sure, woof. I mean, it's going to be 80% chance of snowing tomorrow, and then 1 degree on Friday, low of -8, 11
wind
degrees
chill
Saturday
is going to be bad,
Sunday.
Though. They said it's going to be, like, record-breaking wind chill.
You know, you and your husband know for a fact that I am not a big believer in things like big weather.
Some of the things you say are just such gibberish.
What are you talking about? Everything I've said has made complete and total sense the entire time.
Big, there's no such thing as big weather.
Yeah, it's like big pharma.
It's not a thing. Weather is not like, okay.
And who owns weather.com, Claire?
Okay. You don't go down that lane because it's getting a little too close to being something that's
okay,
bad.
Not in an anti-Semitic way. Not in, like, okay, well, who controls it,
but
the
like
weather.
Exactly, but that's what it kind of sounds like. So Courtney is not an anti-Semite. We just want to
No, obviously I'm not.
Okay. Well, I don't know. To some people, it could be not obvious.
No, my conspiracy theory is that just the weather people, when they show up at the weather station, they go outside and they're like, ugh, it's so cold outside. It feels like it was 8 degrees. And then another person comes in and they're like, it's so cold outside. It feels like it was negative 12 degrees. And then that's what the high and low is.
I really don't think that that's how, I think that's why we have thermometers.
I don't agree.
Anyway, if anyone wants to correct Courtney on that, you can let us know. Courtney, what is your state of the union? What's your in and your out for the week?
My in is when people come visit me from far away. That happened this past weekend. That was fun.
Yay.
Yeah. And my out is when people accuse me of being anti-Semitic about the weather.
It was getting a little suspicious there, to be completely honest.
Okay, I am nowhere near as suspicious as Mr. coming from out of nowhere. Oh, I'm going to review your finances. I was your dad's business partner, Snowden.
True. And your name's not Snowden, so I'm not that worried about it.
An inherently suspicious name. Actually, did we like what Edward Snowden did? Was that good? I can never remember.
I think we liked it, but I think the way that he did it was bad.
Mm. Noted.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't either.
I feel like we're devolving a little bit, but...
Well, you know what? Courtney, this is a Christmas mini-sode. This was a Christmas episode. It's going to be Christmas this week.
Sure. It was kind of nice when... I always liked it when, like, our books align with what we're, time of year we're doing.
Me too.
I feel like we did it with The Click. We had the, like, Halloween book around Halloween time, which was fun.
And Claire's waving over. Oh, it's David. Hi. I thought it was Helen.
Okay. Bye, David. Next week, we're going to be reading Envy, the third book in the Lux series. Loving the... I miss the old covers. Does your ebooks have the new ones?
Yeah, my ebooks do have the new ones, which are very much more like illustrated and modernized. They're sort of like Roaring Twenties-y rather than being, you know... The girls with the big flouncy dresses, which I always wondered whether or not those dresses were like historically accurate, but.
I doubt it, but it is definitely more dramatic. So I prefer the big flouncy dresses, but we're reading Envy, the third book, next week. Mm-hmm. Until then, Courtney, where can they find us?
Oh, they can find us on Twitter at Witty Pod, on Instagram at The Witty Commit. I actually don't have the list in front of me, so I'm now at Instagram.com at Witty Committee Pod. I also have to admit, I had a therapist appointment today and my therapist canceled, so maybe part of me is just like reeling.
Yeah, it's that time of year too. If you don't want to find us on Instagram or on Twitter, you can find us on TikTok at The Witty Committee. Our website is thewittycommittee.com. Shoot us an email, wittycommittypod@gmail.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and you want to give Courtney and I a Christmas present, you can leave us a little rating. You can give us a review or subscribe. We always really appreciate that. We should all be preparing for January 6th because it's Courtney's birthday, which makes it
and
the most important
day.
And only
that, there's nothing else that happens.
There's nothing else happening on that day. It is Courtney's birthday. That is all that matters. But we hope you guys join us next week as we continue to judge The Mean Girl right back one book at a time.
Goodbye. Merry Christmas.